Showtime, folks. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe on this Thursday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is on the ones and twos. Back of the studio, JoJo was shaking.
Oh, man, it is a beautiful Thursday in our city. But I got my little thing. I got to get the 9 a.m. gripe out of the way. So you might see it in your neck of the woods, Chaser. They've got these things now called speed cushions.
Yeah, yeah.
Around town.
Yeah.
It's a speed bump.
Right.
So why are we framing these as speed cushions? You know, I have a cushion at home. It's comfortable. I lay on it. It's nice. These speed cushions are straight from the depths of hell.
Yeah. Well,
they're not comfortable. And just name it a speed bump. Just say speed bump.
Well, because I'm sure somebody gets offended with the phrase speed bump. So I'm sure that I'm sure that's why we're doing it.
You have you live back in on your palatial estate high on the mountain in Bellevue.
Yeah.
You don't have it. Dr. Crane, you got speed bumps in your neighborhood?
No, sir.
Really?
It's great. Really? I live in a nice neighborhood where there's probably the average age of 70, a ripe 70. So everybody's quite nice around there.
Okay.
Why does that just add up?
Right? Oh, man.
No, but here's the thing. Now that you've said that, the fine folks at whoever handles that will make sure to go fix that problem for you.
Sorry about that, Dr. Crane.
That's all right. Every time there's a winter weather issue, they never, plow my streets. So I just have to deal with the ice every time. So you know what? They don't care about me.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Watch out, you're not getting plowed. Yeah.
And not going to say it.
And with that, here's DVD. Oh, man.
Hey-o. Well, we're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we are usually on Thursdays. We've been bouncing around. Had fun yesterday with the Braves watch party. Blooper was there giving us a hard time.
Oh, Blooper. Whoa.
He's such a cut-up.
Did the Braves win or no?
No, they did not.
They lost. They lost? Okay.
Yeah, they lost 3-1.
Hey, it happens. It
happens a lot to them.
There's 8,755 more games they'll play this year to get it right. So.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. Good for Blooper. That was a fun day, though. We got a little jersey.
It was. Got a jersey. Yeah. Had fun. But
nice.
It's a good time. So we're here at Kitchen Notes and hanging out.
And have just a good old time.
John McClain going to join us at 9:30, usually on Wednesdays, but he'll join today. Joe, we are 1 week away.
Thank the Lord.
From the NFL draft.
Can't wait. 7 days.
We're almost there. We're going to get there. Yesterday or last night, how about the Predators? Game 82. Wrapping it up and just dominating the Dallas Stars, who are
took
limping,
them down.
Limping into the playoffs.
Oh, man. What was the final score?
5-1.
5-1. Did Dallas play anybody last night?
Yeah. They played everybody.
Did they really?
Yeah. Played everybody.
Oh, wow.
And Jason Robertson got hurt. So that wasn't good.
Can't have that happening.
No. But the Predator season is officially over, and now the questions will be, what's next? What changes need to be made? Barry Trotz was on with Jared yesterday. Talked about some of that. The big thing that he was asked about was, are you going to say that Andrew Burnett's coming back or what? And Barry Trotz, paraphrasing, said, no, I'm not ready to say that yet. Got to go through the process, talk to the players, talk to, other managers in the front office, the coaching staff themselves, and then, make a decision and an evaluation probably next week.
The process. It's, what that sounds like?
Ken was in it.
Yeah, trust the process. Process. Yeah. Well, what is the process? I'd like to know what the process is. For anything in life that goes on.
I'm still trying to figure that out. But, I mean, if you ask me, and people have asked me.
I'm asking you now.
I am leaning that Andrew Burnett will be back as head coach.
I think
of the Nashville Predators.
Good call. I mean, run it back one more time, and if doesn't happen, then you can go from there.
I just think, and look, there's a lot of you listening that are going to say, you're going to disagree with me no matter what. You're going to say, oh, you're just saying that because you're the flagship and all that. That's not true. I just think there were a lot of other factors that weren't just his fault. It's on him. It's on Trotz. It's on the players. It's truly on everyone involved that, they got to fix this thing. So I do think he's – now, I think that leash could be short. you know, that if they're, you know, starting November, you know, middle of November, and they've only won three games, then my guess is he's not going to be the head coach anymore.
But, that's a good call.
But I do think I'll be surprised if Barry makes a change.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
I will be surprised.
All right. Well, we'll have time to see that what goes on. And well, with who they add and go back. But I say one more year. Why not? You know, what are you going to do? Go find somebody else and just get the guy in. Let him have another chance. Because, look, man, if you describe this season, how do you describe this season?
A disaster. Well, it was weird, but, I mean, it was a yeah. failure, disaster, yeah. however you want to put it.
It's like nobody saw this coming. So give him one more year. And I don't advocate for firing coaches left and right. And so
no, and that's the quick answer. And, you know, that's what everybody – like, look, I love you, Jared, but that's always your answer is stuff starts going wrong. Oh, you got to fire the coach. It's coach's fault. Fire, fire, fire. Fire everybody.
Yeah, let them all go.
You know, and so it's just – that's not always it. I can certainly look at this season and I can make an argument for it, and then I can make an argument why he should get another shot. But my feel, I don't have anything to really back this up on, no sourcing, so to speak. My feel is he's going to be back.
You got sources, man. You're inside. You know what's going on with people. You know what's happening in that franchise across the street. Don't say you don't, man. Don't say you're smiling over there.
I'm just a radio man.
That's just a lowly radio guy.
Just a radio guy.
Just want to bring on somebody from Cleveland and just make it a day.
Something like that. anyway, so I'm glad. It was funny. I didn't go to the game last night. I was going to go, but I was like, let's just put this thing to bed, okay? And so I watched it, and I was glad they won. I was glad that they had, you know, the success that they had last night, but I just –
Time to move on.
I was ready to be done. I think a lot of people were ready to be done.
I get it. I'm with you, man.
Greg Wyshynski will also join us at 10 o'clock.
Greg will have some stuff to weigh in on, won't he?
He sure will. He sure will.
This show. Chris Vanini, who's a friend of Robbie and Rex Road, just tweeted out, Lee Corso's final college game day show will be week one of the season. ESPN just announced.
Look, I...
Say it.
It's time.
It was time like 5 years ago.
It's been time.
Yeah.
It has definitely been time.
Week one, August 30th. That's what it says.
Dr. Crane, I'll let you figure the stream out. I was trying to do that, and that didn't go well. So, there you go.
Fixed.
No. Cool.
Well, also coming off of that, what Joe and Robbie were talking about. Joe and Robbie talking about the
Robbie
new
and Rex Rose name.
Robbie and Rex Rose. It's my favorite show. I listened this morning at 6 when Robbie's alarm went off at 5:50, and he's like, "I can't make it in time. I'll have to do the Zoom." So, Robbie, I'm glad your alarm did go off at 5:50.
He was a little busy last night.
That's okay.
Yeah, it was a late night for him.
Working that shift at Panera. We'll get to him. Get off at 11. I get it, Robbie. You're a good man. My favorite radio show. But, yeah, so they talked about that, about the Arnold, and this is something else, too, which I'm glad they addressed this NCAA football rule that's going on about, you know, faking injuries, that under the new rule approved Wednesday, if medical personnel enter the field to evaluate an injured player after the ball is spotted by the officiating crew for the next play, that player's team will be charged a timeout. The team doesn't have any timeouts remaining. A 5-yard delay of game penalty will be assessed. Here's how you get around that. When the play ends, drop to the ground immediately. Yep.
There'll be a guy designated to do that.
Go, you're done.
Like, so. Look, I don't applaud. I mean, is the NCAA who's making this rule?
NCAA.
So they don't do a lot of good things because mostly they just sit on their hands and are like, do, and they're the reason that, you know, this transfer portal and NIL stuff is all out of control. But – this is one of those things, and then what they do is they chase rules like this that I get it, like I get the intent of it, but you're not going to fix it. You're in some ways, you're only going to make it worse. And that's what, you know, like you said, as soon as the play's over, there's a guy that you know, is going to be designated to fall down.
So here's the deal. You need to address this. Well, we did. We addressed it. Here's the rule. I mean, so that NCAA could say that we've done something. We've figured this out. We've done something. Here's how you get penalized for that. And now you just move up the guy that drops to the ground. And there you go. Lane Kiffin's going to teach that all season long. in practice, and more and more teams will do that, have a guy, when that play ends, wherever you are, drop, fall to the ground. What are you going to do then? And that's the 50-50 line, like, oh, he's faking it. But then you're like, there's a one chance, like, oh, my God, that guy really blew his knee out. So now you're like, oh, I hope he's okay. And then more or less, you know, the guy is okay, and you see what happens here. But the NCAA addressed the rule, and they can say, what more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
Right.
We did it. We got it done.
That's what they're going to say, but they're going to be wrong.
There's
still going to be people that are like, you know, whatever.
But there is there again. Do you have time? You want to do the question of the day?
Go ahead.
So Urban Meyer comes out with this statement yesterday and says, Tennessee is screwed. Basically says that, and I'm going to get the exact quote here. And the question is there a bigger idiot? Is there a bigger idiot on the planet than Urban Meyer when it comes to the Nico situation? My computer pulls up there. He said yesterday it mainly took a shot at Heupel. And so my computer is spinning left and right. Anyway, he basically came out and said, oh, that's all great. When Tennessee plays Florida and they're getting beat, basically, and Heupel grabs a microphone and says, hey, I took a stand. Are you proud of me when Tennessee's getting beat and all that? I'm like, what? Just shut your mouth on that. And why say that? So, and of course, my computer is spinning left and right. This is really fun. So I just say, is there a bigger idiot right now? I mean, to stick your nose in some place you don't know what's going on about.
Well, I have comments on what Urban said. Well, I'll give those to you next. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. That is our question of the day. We're live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel, of course, proud sponsor of the Chasing Big Joe show. You can weigh in on our question and much more. John McClain at the bottom of the hour here on 1025-1063 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel. At Kitchen Notes, Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So our question of the day is who's a bigger idiot than Urban Meyer?
Right.
This is all stemming from comments that he made saying, quote, Tennessee is screwed when talking about this whole thing with Nico. He says, quote, here's the reality. Tennessee is screwed. They got a problem. You lose a potential high draft pick. You have the backup quarterback left last year, and now you have a redshirt freshman that threw 9 passes as a freshman. You have 0 experience, and the portal opens as we speak. They're going to have to go get one. And here's the thing. There's a couple of key elements here. Everybody's saying, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I've got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida, usually every year in October. Can you imagine that game going the other way and Coach Heupel grabs a microphone and stands on the 50-yard line of Neyland Stadium and says, it's okay, I made a stand way back when. he says, quote, so I don't know what the answer is. There are some interesting answers out there, but it happened. And think about this. He threw for 200 yards in 8 games, more or less 200 yards. He had one 300-yard game and threw for 104 against Ohio State in the playoffs. He had a good first year as a starting quarterback, but I, as a guy that's been involved in almost 40 years in the game, no one cares. I can't believe this happened, end quote.
Oh, yes.
That is Urban Meyer.
Shut up.
Well, here's the thing.
Shut up.
You know that he's never going to say good job, Tennessee.
Right.
Like I love how these coaches – too, when they're done, when they're not coaching anymore, all of a sudden they're like aligned with all the schools they coached. So now he's like, yeah, go Gators and like go Ohio State. And like he's, you know, trying to play to both fan bases. It's like Spurrier when he quit South Carolina, all of a sudden he's the Florida coach again.
Yeah, yeah, you know, right.
And all that stuff. So so it's just like, I mean, what are you doing?
No,
so,
yeah, right.
I mean, Tennessee, yeah, look, they don't have – their quarterback right now. But the idiot was Nico Iamaleava and his family.
Correct.
Because he's going to end up going to probably UCLA, it's what it's looking like, for less money.
For less money.
So it didn't work. The power play didn't work.
Yeah, for less money. And then, you know, his quote in there of, you know, I mean, it's just so outlandish. Like, Heupel's going to – I know he's poking fun at him. But, look, man, he took a stand. He took a stand. You know what? The program hijacked. That was it. They had a deal. And
Heupel's like, we're not going to do it, and that's fine. Then all the stuff comes out, missing autograph sessions, missing events he's supposed to be at, things that are going on, and his dad got involved and all that. I don't know a single Tennessee fan, I know a lot of them, who are upset with this decision.
Yeah.
Not a single one that I know. I'm sure there's a couple out there. So, yeah, he won't take a jab at all that, but that's fine. And how was that program at Florida, Urban?
Yeah, really.
Didn't have any bad guys on that team, right? Did you police that program pretty well? Where do we start?
A non-Tennessee fan has texted in. I know they're a non-Tennessee fan. 6166, Urban ain't the idiot, is not as the phrase. Heupel not doing his homework and bringing in a guy that wrecked the program is the bigger idiot. This ain't happening at other programs. Urban has national championships. UT hadn't been relevant in almost 30 years. One playoff appearance, no BCS, and the guy that screwed the program had a terrible game and arguably the biggest game in program history. Weird to find fault in one guy that has nothing to do with the situation. Outside of Tennessee, this program is a joke.
By the way,
you Kentucky, Florida, like what?
It's been 27 years, not 30, so get that correct. 1998, they won the national championship. And look, it's just there's going to be one or two like, oh, but I think Rexford had a good point this morning. He said, were we talking about Nico being bad in January?
No.
February, just when this came up, like, all right, why do you want – you're not getting more money for this.
Yeah.
And, again, it's the world they've created, but you're not going to go out and pay this guy for more than what you've agreed on right now. I mean, that's up to those two camps to do all that stuff. But it's just – it's a problem now, and then Urban Meyer weighing in on it. I'm sure Heupel's like, oh, God, shut up. And I just think, what an idiotic comment from Urban Meyer for a guy who's
– yeah.
I know he won two national titles, but he had some bad eggs on that Florida team.
Well, I mean – you went two at Florida and one at Ohio State?
06, 08 at Florida and 14 at Ohio State. Yeah. No, he's a good coach.
Sure.
Get all that.
But he's good. But he's going to play the bad guy. Just, like, he's going to play the villain role.
Right.
Hang on. I want to see. 1978. The only pulse Urban has is a finger on is that poor co-ed's butt crack.
Ew.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Right.
Adam in Portland said, God, I wish he still coached the Jacksonville Jaguars. Easiest two wins ever. Love how the most dysfunctional coach maybe in recent history with absolutely zero moral compass is trying to tell people what to do. Jackweed.
Great point. Thank you for that. It's a great point.
Mike in Lebanon, I can't believe anyone would pay much less attention to or much less listen to Urban Meyer. He's a con artist.
Yeah, that's it. That's why his comments came out. I was like, what are you doing, man? Just stop
he's
with all that.
He's just stirring the pot. He's like doing. Rick Merritt, just stirring the pot.
Rick that's Merritt, that guy. That guy, I bet that guy hangs out with Urban Meyer. I bet they hang out together and who knows what gets going
Probably.
On. Yep.
Bunch of tomfoolery, if you ask
me. Some nefarious activity going on there with these two guys.
That's what she said.
Yep, that's Did she? Did she say that?
I don't know. I just Urban. And look, where's Nico landing now? Allegedly UCLA.
Yeah.
And it's great. You guys are great in the audience because I've seen this. Somebody sent this to me. It was what he's making. If he makes $1 million at UCLA, then they started deducting California tax and everything going on. And the less money he's making. And I was like, oh, okay. All of a sudden, we're all accountants. I was like, this is great. You guys are wonderful to do that.
Carry the three.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. John McClain going to join us here in a few minutes. We're 1 week away from the NFL draft. Wes has a Titans question real quick before we get to John. Wes, what's up?
Oh, man, just to weigh in on the question of the day, I think the only person out there that's about as dumb as Urban Meyer is probably Kate Upton. I don't know if y'all remember her or not, but it's pretty up there.
What'd she do?
Kate Upton was the what was it? She was in Miss America or something, and they asked her why she why people in America could not, you know, locate the United States on a map, and she went into this whole feel about because Americans don't have maps in their houses.
Was that like, Kate Upton?
I'm pretty sure it was Kate Upton. That's where I put Urban Meyer on the IQ list.
We ran that like a few weeks ago, her comment. I think it was Miss Teen USA. We ran that comment about her and she couldn't formulate a sentence there for the question and answer part of that pageant. But I don't think that's Kate Upton, though.
No, I don't think it was Kate Upton either. Because didn't she marry
to Justin Verlander? I'll have to double check and see. But I don't know why her name keeps sticking out in my head, but I thought that I was almost for sure that was her.
Because she's pretty, Wes. That's why.
Yeah, she's very pretty. She's definitely pretty, so it makes up for some of that. But, yeah, man, I took my daughter to the Preds game last night. I just wanted to say, you know, that was probably the best game all season that I could have taken her to. It was just a great experience, and she had one heck of a time. But my question for y'all is this. I was going to say this for 2 o'clock, but I don't really feel like hearing a bunch of yelling this early, so I'm just going to ask y'all, what is the worst trade right now, given everything we know? Julio Jones or Ladarius Neath? I'm curious.
That's a really good question.
Wasn't A.J. Brown a trade?
Yeah, but, I mean, just if you're zeroing in.
I'm talking about acquiring talent more so than letting it go.
Well, hang on. You don't have your third-round pick this year because of the Ladarius Neath trade. I forgot what they gave. I think they gave up like a second. Julio Jones, the Titans sent a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 fourth-rounder, and a 2023 sixth-rounder.
Did they really? I don't remember that. That's terrible.
I don't know. Wes, I'm going to be honest with you. They're pretty tied.
Yeah,
they're pretty bad. I guess right now Julio had a little more production than Ladarius Sneed. So,
yep.
I'll say Sneed at this point.
Because you
signed Sneed to an extension. You paid him, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the Sneed deal, I wasn't happy about it when it happened, and then I waited all year for him to make a play. I'm still, like, going back and watching replays, seeing if I missed something, but y'all can let me know if I did. I didn't really see him have one good game this year.
No, yeah. What did Seattle, what was the safety they brought up from Seattle? Was that a seventh-rounder? The guy last year that lasted 6 games and quit? I know it's not Quinn Adams. What's the guy's name from? Jamal Adams.
Oh, yeah. He didn't quit. They cut him.
Yeah. But did they give a seventh rounder up for that?
No, they just signed him.
Okay. I thought he was with the Seahawks.
He was a free agent.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. Thanks,
Wes. Happy Easter, guys.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Too, buddy.
Appreciate it. Coming up next, we'll get John's thoughts on what the Titans could do in this Sneed situation. And much more. We'll talk to John McClain coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
But not far, Louisiana man. So wrong's enough that both are faded love, and that's all dance.
You want to win an exclusive Keith Urban experience? Text in the keyword Keith, K-E-I-T-H, to 615-737-1025. Receive a link to sign up for a chance to win an all-inclusive tickets to the Earthstone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban, plus also a chance at $1,000 cash. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We say hello to the best, John McClain, down in Houston. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm fired up. About 1 week from today, the draft will start with the Titans being forced by the NFL to use their allotted 10 minutes for a pick everybody knows they're going to make, Cam Ward. Wouldn't you like to just come out, get it going, move on? But for commercials, and I guess, I don't know what they could say, the talking heads leading up to it to try to build suspense, because the suspense doesn't start until the second pick. Does Cleveland take Travis Hunter? It looks like Shedeur Sanders is falling. And I'll say this about the Giants. If they take Abdul Carter, they've already got Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau at end, two former number one picks. They got Dexter Lawrence, a number one pick at tackles. But if they take Abdul Carter and he's anywhere close to being as great as he's supposed to be, they'll have the best pass rush in the NFL. And their defense, of course, will spend a lot of time on the field because their offense is horse, you know what. And so I think this, that the most intriguing thing to me is Shedeur Sanders. How far does he fall and where does he line up? And his daddy should be telling him, son, I know it hurts your ego, but the farther you fall, the better chance you have of landing with a good team. Just look at Dan Marino in 1983. Look at Big Ben Roethlisberger in 2004, And I can't remember what year Aaron Rodgers came out, but how far he fell through the laps of the Packers in 05. So usually nothing bad comes from a quarterback highly rated who drops in the first round.
Well, and something interesting too, you know, I think we're all kind of wondering how many quarterbacks will actually go in the first round because, you know, you have that fifth-year option. You don't get that in any other round. All these guys in the first round get the fifth-year option, which is very, very important. And I heard our morning show talking about this too, John, that basically the price of trying to trade into the back end of the first round is maybe a little bit higher for, you know, if a team knows that a team that's trying to move into the back end of the first round knows that they want to get that fifth-year option to draft a quarterback. So what could that do next week when we get into the, you know, the later picks in the first round of teams trying to maneuver their way back into the first round knowing they can get that extra year?
First of all, Chase, nobody uses that extra year for your quarterback. If your quarterback is good, you're going to sign him to an extension way before that fifth year rolls around. How many quarterbacks do we see where first rounders actually playing on the fifth year option?
That's a good point.
So I think, like, Baltimore trades back in to get Lamar Jackson. That was a tremendous kick. But I don't see any Lamar Jacksons out there. I was just watching ESPN's Get Up. And Mike Tannenbaum, a former GM, this is why he's on ESPN, kept saying, well, next year Jalen Milroe will be a frontline quarterback. Tyler Shuck will be a frontline quarterback. I think there were three that he said would be a frontline quarterback. Well, if that's the case, then they all need to go in the first round, and we need to have five quarterbacks in the first round. The fact is we may just have two.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, if it goes as planned and the Titans do draft Cam Ward, is there any doubt he starts game one? I mean, is there any doubt that he's their starting quarterback when they take the field in September?
Well, that's assuming he's healthy. And that's, of course, he's going to be the first pick. And I think even if you, say, went to camp, there's different ways to handle it. Some teams, and this is rare, designate top pick to start immediately. I remember 2 years ago when C.J. Stroud was a rookie all through the offseason program and training camp. First of all, he backed up Davis Mills, the returning starter. Then he started splitting time. Then they started having him take more reps than Mills. Then he was clearly first team. And finally, they named him, even though we've been saying since the offseason program he was going to be the starter. And you want Ward, instead of naming him as the starter, and a lot of decisions that are made because of other players. If other players are told you have to win your job, is it fair to designate him as the starter when he hadn't done squat with the team? So good coaches do it that way. They want the team to see him in action. They want the team to know this kid deserves to be the starter. So I'll say, yes, Joe, he will be the starter, but I can't believe it would be right off the bat. I'm guessing they would go to camp with Levis number one, and then at some point elevate him to number one, and he would be the clear starter by opening day. And the best thing about Cam Ward, ever since he came out as a down here as a zero-star recruit, and he went to Incarnate Word in San Antonio, and his coach, Eric Morris, who's now the head coach at University of North Texas, and he's destined for bigger things. He went to Washington State, and he went with him, and that's when he really flourished. And then, of course, to Miami last year. He had a chance to come out last year, and he was rated, and he was not rated as a first-round pick, so he went back to get better, and it worked out great. And so if you're a Titans fan, he may start off slow, as most of those rookies do, but the fact that he has improved in each season he's played since he went to college tells me he's going to improve in the NFL.
John, why in 1986, the Oilers already had Warren Moon, why did they draft Jim Everett that year at number 3 overall?
They tried to trade the pick to other teams, and they did not get offers that they thought were worth it. And at the time, in 84 and 85, they were terrible. And even though they had Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews in the offensive line, and Moon at quarterback, they were terrible. A lot of that had to do with terrible coaching. So they drafted Everett, and a lot of people are, oh, my God, they're going to bench Warren Moon. No, that was not the plan by the general manager, Ladd Herzing. Everett signed late. He was represented by Marvin Dimmock.
Ooh.
And it was a weird deal because when he came to town at Bud's office and the media, we couldn't get in the building except the lobby, and there were different ways for them to get out. So we were there for 14 hours, and the media, TV and radio came in different times, and we had worked out where certain people would stand back on one side of the building and others would stand on other sides of the building. So we had every exit covered if they came out early. And I think it was so weird. My wife, Carol, was a paralegal during the day, and she loved sports, and she worked at a radio station at night. And they sent her over there at one point. And so she was there for 4 hours, and that's where I actually met her. And when I ordered pizzas for everybody, I made sure she got some. So that was our first date, kind of.
You old dog, you.
Bought her pizza and got to flirt with her for a few hours. And eventually, Marvin Dimmock, they asked us for pizza, and we sent it up to him. And he came down and talked to us, and so did Everett. And they had the Packers and they had the Rams. And the Packers filed a grievance because they thought he was traded to them, and then general manager Ladd Herzing got the Rams and the 49ers, rivals,
wow,
bidding against each other, and he made a trade in which he got three starters and draft picks that came starters, and they went to the playoffs, a league high 7 consecutive years, and a big part of it was that Jim Edford trade, and the strategy turned out to be brilliant, trading him to the Rams.
Wow. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. And, John, I'm sure you've kept up with what's been going on in college football with the Nico Iamaleava situation in the University
Absolutely.
Of Tennessee. How are NFL teams going to view that when he goes through the draft process here in a couple of years? Because it can't be a good look for him.
How did NFL teams view Deshaun Watson having over 35 civil suits?
Yeah.
Five teams pursued him vigorously. They don't care why he left Tennessee. They don't give a rat's you-know-what about that if they believe he can play. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. If he's good, he'll be gone to the NFL after two, and it'll be something they ask him about. And if the family sticks to this preposterous excuse that it wasn't money, it was the offense, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard based on everything that I've read, seen, and listened, that I've been fascinated about it. And I'm for kids getting all the money they can get, but you got to do it the right way, and this was not the right way. But it's something all teams that are interested in him will ask him about, and he'll have a good answer. And then if he can play, they won't give it a second thought.
Yeah, but do you think that Tennessee ultimately did college football and college athletics, you know, a favor by essentially standing up to, it's mainly the dad that's been causing all of this, because if they give in and bend the knee, or so to speak, and pay him more than he's worth, like, you know, we see a lot of times in the NFL, then it, I think, opens another can of worms.
Well, I look at it like this. If he goes to UCLA and UCLA gives him what he wants, are they a disservice to college football like Cleveland was on Deshaun Watson, giving him an unheard of contract, $230 million guaranteed, and look how it's backfired with them? And I'll give last year, UNLV, early in the season, the starting quarterback who was playing well, his daddy said, went public and said he's not getting the NIL money he was promised. He quit the backup. They didn't know what they had. He played, turned out to be even better. They had an even better season. Hopefully that'll happen with the Vols, that they'll have somebody that nobody's sure about what he can do. But when he gets his opportunity, he'll play really, really well. A lot of people want to blame the NCAA for this. The NCAA is powerless. I blame the parents, and sometimes parents, I'm told now, parents are asking for money and when they're early in their high school careers. And so until they get a governing body that's got some footballs and can make decisions that'll stand up in court, we're going to continue to have this. And I hope Tennessee has an even better season after what Josh Heupel has gone through.
John, I'm sure you have seen the alleged reports and everything with Legarius Sneed, Titans cornerback, and I'm not asking about that specifically, but if the NFL suspends him, if Goodell suspends him, you know, there's guaranteed money involved. What will the Titans have in their favor if they want to just cut bait and get out of that contract altogether?
Well, they have clauses in their contracts. You know, you'd be sued. The union would get behind the player. You know, you'd hope he could come back, stay healthy, and play the way he did 2 years ago, not the way he did last year. So many players get in trouble now. It's amazing. And the league would rather get him for taking substance abuse, violating the policy for illegal substances than they do for off-the-field issues. And you hope that he doesn't. But it also, if they think he can play and help them, they're not going to get rid of him.
Makes sense. Talking to John McClain on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, I know we're a week away from the NFL draft, but we always like talking about you and the history of things that go on. What do you think in your time covering that franchise when they were down in Houston and now here in Tennessee was their best draft? I mean, because I'm going through all the drafts. There's a lot of misses they had throughout the years. I'm just curious what you think, what year was their best draft?
Well, their draft in, 1978, when they traded up with Tampa to get the first pick and took Heisman Trophy winning running back Earl Campbell, who led him to the AFC Championship game in his first 2 years. That was their best overall pick. 1967, they got Kenny Houston, Hall of Famer in first round. No, like the eighth round. Elvin Bethea the next year, Hall of Fame defensive end in the third round. And in the 83 draft, in which they went in with the second pick and they traded to the Rams so they could get running back Eric Dickerson. Then they traded that one to Seattle so they could get Penn State running back Kurt Warner, and they dropped down and got stuck with USC offensive lineman Bruce Matthews. And 1983 draft is considered the greatest in NFL history, not just because of all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but it was the first one red shirts that had another year of college. And we'll never have that anymore because so many guys come out early. But the NFL draft, that was the best. I don't know. I would have to go back over them because I haven't thought about it in so long. Way back in the early 60s, they won the first two AFL championships and lost in double overtime the third one, and they were loaded with talent. But back then, you were signing them off the streets, signing them illegally. They got their quarterback, George Blanda, who had been hidden by Bears owner George Halas, running a warehouse. He had keeping him under wraps, and then because he couldn't get him on the roster and he didn't want anybody else to get him, and the GM they hired came from the Bears, and he knew about Blanda, so they signed him, and Blanda is one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. So they've had a lot of great players through their history, and but I would have to look top to bottom. But if you could get three or four players who could play on your team for at least 5 years, that would turn out to be a great draft. Blaine Bishop, eighth round, would have been a free agent today from Ball State in 1993. Brad Hopkins was the first pick, left tackle. And Blaine today wouldn't have been drafted. And back when the draft was 18 rounds, you look at where the mid-round picks were. Johnny Unitas, quarterback, Louisville, 18th round pick by the Steelers, who didn't know what they had, one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. So the draft is always such a fascinating thing, not just this year, but going back and looking at the drafts, just the first rounds. You could go back on Pro Football Reference and look at them, and it's amazing how many mistakes were made, including at the top of the draft, and they're always blown picks. And this franchise has had, whether it's in Houston or Nashville, has had a lot of them.
John, before we let you go, in your mind, who was the first-round pick, their first pick, who was just a total disaster? We have Isaiah Wilson here in 2020. Was there an Isaiah Wilson comparison when you were covering the Oilers when they were there?
I think that there's only one Isaiah Wilson in franchise history. That how they drafted that guy is still beyond me, considering all the problems he had. They should, the players at Georgia, the coaches should have been able to tell him what they had. The first overall pick they had one year was John Matuszak. And John Matuszak was a wild man who was not good, but they traded him to Kansas City for Curley Culp, perhaps the greatest nose tackle in history, and a first-round pick. And they used that first-round pick on Robert Dr. Doom Brazil, one of the greatest linebackers. Culp and Brazil are in the Hall of Fame. Matuszak, the twos, is dead, and his best years, which weren't very good, were with the Raiders.
Well, John, we're a week away. Cannot wait, and we look forward to talking to you next week before the draft and the Titans do what everybody thinks they're going to do, and that's take Cam Ward.
Thanks, guys, very much. I do appreciate it. Can't wait.
Yep, going to be fun. Thanks, John. John McClain joining us here on the program, usually on Wednesdays, but on Thursdays today. So we keep it going. We go from the gridiron to the ice. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. The playoffs are set. The season for the Predators has come to an end. We'll get his thoughts on that and much more. Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Thursday. And the Nashville Sounds back in action tonight in Charlotte to take on the Knights. Pregame at 5:49. Note the extra minute there. First pitch at 6:04. You can listen on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.